Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Listeners, what's up?
Hey, hey.
We were just singing a one, a two, a one, two, three. Shake your...
Arthur, you're talking about Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, no. Shake your groove thing.
Oh.
It is not a Monday night. We're recording on a different night this week, which won't matter to all of you. This will be months in the future, but...
It's weird. I have a glass of water in front of me.
I don't have anything.
This is strange.
Yeah, I can't believe this is our fifth episode. I just said that, but
I know.
Truly.
Whoa. This is not going to go well.
Fifth episode. We have done five of these. Hopefully, people are still listening.
Hopefully, we'll make it to six.
Hopefully, we will. We are over halfway through. Like, the season. The whole series. But the whole season.
That's crazy.
I know. Things are really starting
to... I was really impressed with this episode.
Oh.
Yeah, I really liked this one.
I can't wait till we can talk about it. But first, you came to my house and you said something happened to you on your drive here.
Yeah.
I would like to know what that is.
So, you said you wanted sip. That's not really important, but then it ended up being closed.
Which is a juice bar, because I am basic.
I find that very funny that it was closed. But I was at this red light, like, in the left turn lane, and I kind of had my music loud, and it turns out the line was, "You motherfucking asshole," or...
From your listening to Big Little Lies soundtrack.
Yeah.
Song number two.
Yeah, and so I turned down the music because there was, like, kind of an elderly gentleman with his window cracked next to me. And I was like, oh, that's kind of rude, and my windows were down. So I turned my music down, and then, like, my phone music wasn't loading. And I think it was because it was searching for Wi-Fi. And so I was trying to, like swipe up to, like, turn the Wi-Fi off. But I, like, couldn't get there. And I know I, like, shouldn't be looking at my phone while I'm driving, but it was a red light, and so I was just trying to get my music going to the song I wanted it to be going, so I wouldn't be looking at it when I was actually driving. So as I'm, like, struggling with it, this man yells at me, "Wake up!" And I look, and the light was green, but we weren't even in the same lane. Like, he still had a red light, and I had a green light, and it just really shocked me, and it was, like, this growl, and it was so... mean. I, like, got tears in my eyes, and I was just like, "All right, sir," and I, like, drove away. And, like, I get it. I shouldn't be looking at my phone, and I understand, like, how frustrating it is when, like, you see people at, like, red lights and they're not paying attention, but I don't understand being mean to people. Like, you don't know me at all. You don't know what my day has been. Like, you could easily, even a horn, honking your horn, I feel like it's more polite. But, like,
yeah, that was crazy.
Telling me to wake up, it felt like he was, like, judging my life. And I just wanted to, like, stay there and not drive forward and just roll my window down.
And tell him about your life?
Yeah, and just be like... Well, my initial thing is I want to be like, "Fuck you!" But instead, I was just like, "All right, sir," and drove away and got all emotional. But it made me, like, just think about, like, what good is it being mean to people? Yeah. Like, and people you don't know. And I work in customer service, and people take their bad days out on you. And what did he gain from that by yelling at me?
Nothing.
It didn't make him feel better. And it certainly didn't make me feel good. And it just had me thinking, like, the whole way here, and I just don't understand why. It's just such a simple... I know we all have bad days, and it's not as simple as... No, it is just as simple as just be kind to people.
Yeah, and also, it sounds like he has some pent-up anger about, like...
Our generation on their phones.
Yeah, like, and it just, like, came out. But yeah, like, he has, like, who knows? You could have been, like, getting a text that you have a new nephew. Or yeah. Like, he doesn't know your life. He doesn't know what you're doing.
Right.
Like, who knows what. Yeah, you're right. There's no gain.
No. By,
at all.
By responding that way. So, I don't know. It just really rubbed me the wrong way. Just in his tone. Like,
yeah.
Tones are so...
Like, also saying wake up.
Wake up. Like... Dude, I've been trying to wake up for 26 years, like trying to figure, you don't know what I'm trying to do in my life and what I'm trying to strip away, getting real deep.
I wish that you had opened your window and like, not the mean thing, but been like, I'm really sorry, sir, I was trying to change, or like, I don't even know, like.
I'm really sorry, sir, I am trying to awake myself.
Yeah, I really wish you'd done that.
I just don't understand why he got so mad. It wasn't like I was wasting his time. Like, his light was still red.
That's what I'm saying. It's pent-up anger about our generation.
And no one was even behind me. No one was honking behind me. So it was literally me wasting my own time by, like, maybe missing a green light.
I wonder if he was in the wrong lane he was trying to get over.
No.
Because he would have followed you. And then he would have been terrified.
Yeah, yeah, I would have been. Anyway, that's
what kind of car was he in?
I don't know. A little stupid car. Better than mine. And he had on this, like, plaid button-up flannel-y thing. Ugh. And just a window slightly cracked. Just enough so he could yell at people as he drove past.
Oh my god.
Get on the sidewalk!
Brie, I want you to physically brush it off your shoulders right now. There. Yeah.
Let it go.
Take two cleansing breaths.
Just let it go.
Let it go.
I wish the best for him. But also fuck him.
But also fuck that guy.
So that's what happened with me today.
God, that's terrible. That overshadows everything.
Yeah. But like, it is funny too, though, how like that could happen on a different day and it could really not affect you.
Or you'd think it's hilarious.
Yeah. Like, yeah. But it just hit me at the right moment and right where I was in my mental state that I was like... Stop, like, judging me. Like, this is my life. I get to live my life. Like, that's what I wanted to scream.
I hate those fragile days.
Yeah.
Like, where you feel like no one say anything to me. That because, like, I will fall off.
Because
like,
I might have a breakdown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And on the verge.
You could say it in the gentlest tone. You could be like, you are always judging me. You are always pointing out the negative. Yeah.
Do you feel okay enough to...
I don't know. I don't think I can do this. No, I'm fine.
It wasn't a sad episode, so...
No, it's a great episode. How was your day, though, before we...
Well, I woke up in a haze because last night I was home alone without the dog, without the husband, and I, like, had a party by myself. Like,
amazing.
I just drank the rest of the wine, and I was, like, watching new Grey's episodes, and then I was onto YouTubes, and then I was texting you and sending you the YouTubes to watch.
And FaceTime?
For, like, a while.
Yeah.
I killed 2 stink bugs, felt empowered by that.
Yeah. Good for you.
And then, so I had to do a... like FaceTime meeting with a client at 9 a.m. this morning. So I had my alarm set early enough to, and then right after that, I had a session, which I use my bedroom for. So I had to like empty my room and have it be clean. Mm-hmm. So I set my alarm for like 7:30 and like got up and I just was like, what is happening? And I like went to the bakery and got some food. And then I had like those amazing like client interview, they're interviewing me basically. Mm-hmm. It was great. And then shot a fearless session, which was amazing too. And then I had 2 more like interview phone calls. So I feel fine now, but like I felt like drained from like trying to sell myself.
Yeah.
Basically.
Now
so
we're doing another thing where we're just trying to sell ourselves.
Please, please hire us. Yeah. Isn't that all life is trying to sell yourself?
I don't know. It's about the journey.
It's the journey. So, yeah. So, I don't know.
Sounds like you had a pretty empowering day, though.
It was. It was great. And I can't believe it's, like, not even 5 yet because it feels like I should be going to bed soon.
Yeah.
The night
we got
is young.
A big night ahead of us.
Big night.
Dancing.
We look so ready for it.
Yeah. I have on...
Oh, yeah. Explain
shorts.
Your outfit. They're not just... Okay. When the listeners are going to think workout shorts, they're going to think, like, Nike shorts.
They're like spandex gray biker shorts, but they like almost go to my knees. They're like, they are my mom's from the 80s. And they're like that really light gray.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. They're like.
Yeah, they're really bad, but I love them.
And a really beautiful classic looking sweater.
It's just, a baggy one, and it feels great. It was warm enough to wear shorts, but not warm enough to wear shorts and a t-shirt.
Right.
Like, I could have worn maybe, like, sweatpants and a t-shirt or shorts and a sweater. And I decided that these shorts were just too
good
great.
To pass it. Yeah, yeah. I think they're perfect.
Thank you.
We are going to shower and change before we go out tonight.
Maybe I'll shower.
It's hard to tell.
Hopefully.
I think it's appropriate that we might go dancing tonight, considering the name of this episode.
And it is.
Well, this is season 1, episode 5.
Already can't believe it.
And it's called Shake Your Groove Thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Shake your groove thing.
I've been trying to figure out, like, the proper balance in doing these. Could you just sing that throughout the whole
background.
Episode? Yeah. I'm trying to figure out the balance of, like, how in-depth do we need to get about, like, what happens and then this happens. Or, I don't know how – do you feel like we've been
– Well, I just feel like we haven't quite figured out our segments yet. Like,
no.
Once we have more segments –
Because we think of them and then we don't write them down.
Yeah, because it's like – well, and they're not all there yet.
Every episode, right.
Yeah, so – I don't know. I think, like, just going over our notes and stuff, and then we just talk about what we want to talk about. We're just going to be who we are.
Don't try
no
to tell us.
No one's going to stop us.
Or yell out their car at us.
Yeah.
All right. Well, what's your first note? We watched this kind of separate, kind of watched the beginning together, or the end together. But
yeah. What's my first note?
Yeah.
The first line, being an adult is totally overrated. And I was
yes,
yes, so true.
It is. And like the responsibility was a big theme. And like, yeah, no one tells you when you're little that someday, like you don't know that that's like a part of what you have to do when you're older.
Adulting is so hard, so dumb. I would just love, I mean, like, she's right. Like the buying all fancy shoes and having all the sex and being able to do whatever you want. That's all great. But like, being a surgical intern is hard.
Yeah, so is, like, just being us.
Yeah.
Like, and, like, there's no, I mean, there is a payoff, like, the things she listed, but, like, when you do things like make a doctor's appointment for yourself, like, there's no, like, wait, you have to go to the doctor and pay.
Yeah,
like,
and then probably have something stuck in you somewhere.
Like a towel. is that what you meant by that?
No, I just meant, like, at a doctor's appointment, usually they stick
stuck in you.
Like,
do you get my reference?
Yeah, I got your reference.
Hey, listeners, do you get my reference? A towel? So my first note was Christina, well, not Christina, Izzy's planning this party, and Christina says, this party is DOA, dead on arrival. Is that what that means?
Yeah.
I was trying to think of, and I love that she uses medical terms to describe parties.
What did she also say? She said, you are only to invite the jocks, surgery, trauma, and plastics.
Yes. And then she, when Izzy's like,
she invited the mental defects.
Yeah, the mental defects. And then Izzy's like talking to her and she's like, I invited whatever and I want him to meet my friends. And Christina goes, 60 geeks are your friends. Like, and I just love, Christina was like, bada bing, bada boom.
Yeah,
this whole episode.
She was just, I think she might have been my favorite this episode.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I agree too.
She's really funny.
But I'm going to walk into a party sometime and be like, this party is DOA.
That's going to be so mean of you.
I'm only going to do it to people I hate.
Good. Why are you going to their party?
I don't know. So I'm going to do that. I'm going to say that. I'm going to use that line and sneak it.
You'd sneak it in.
I also love that. Oh, wait. This is skipping very much ahead. I don't want to do that. So I feel like this is a Christina episode. Like, we finally get to like a little mm-hmm. bit more about Christina.
Yeah.
Not about her though, but just like who she is as a human.
Yeah. Yeah. Her as a human, not so much as a doctor.
Right.
Because it's been very Dr. Christina.
Right.
And we get to see some of her like funny, quirky things that will happen throughout the series.
Right. Which is why Christina is a huge favorite.
Yeah. I think my favorite of all time is Christina.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you can't hate her.
I mean,
you can.
Yeah.
Bold statements, but she's great.
Yeah.
So the premise of this one is there's like a couple patient, which I feel like, is it always there's this many patients?
I felt like there was a lot this time.
It's hard to like keep track of. I felt like in the future episodes, it's a lot more concentrated on like one patient story.
Yeah,
this
like
is
one
like
or two.
So much
like
going
four.
On. Yeah. So we've got the man that comes in with chronic pain, mm-hmm. who has been to many hospitals. This is what we should do. We should just name all the patients first, okay. so that we don't have to.
Yeah.
There's chronic pain guy who Alex Kreb believes is a junkie.
Yep.
Which he is. And then there is old lady who quit smoking but still doesn't feel quite right after her surgery 5 years ago.
There's heart surgery person, lady. Yep.
There's the couple that comes in.
Yep. There's the baby with the light twitch.
I feel like I watched this. I just finished watching this, and I don't remember the baby.
Oh shoot! I started another episode. That might be.
Oh my god! Episode. We will come back to the baby.
I think I got confused.
We will come back to the baby.
Oh no!
Forget everything that you just heard. There is no baby.
Oh no.
So anyway, so I think that's the only three. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe
turns out there's four.
And Izzy's boyfriend is coming into town, so she's planning this big party.
Is he a hockey player?
I don't know. Christina thinks he looks like one. Very hockey, very tall.
Oh, okay. But I didn't know if he actually was a hockey
I'm not
player.
Quite sure, but he seems like a real douchebag.
Oh, my God. He seems like even douchier than Gref,
which is saying something.
Yeah.
So, right away, Meredith is in surgery with Burke on the couple, the woman. There, she comes in with her husband. She has a heart problem or something. And right away that Meredith, it's like during her monologue or something, like mm-hmm. she's yeah. super tired. She like dozes off while standing and
holding a heart.
Right.
Like not a good time to take a little quick 1-2 Nancy.
Don't do that to me. And she notices her glove has like a puncture, like her fingernail went through it.
She took a long blink.
Which you know, imagine how hard that would actually be.
Wait. Yeah, that would be hard. Can I say something funny?
Yes.
My sister Catherine is a teacher, a high school teacher. And when she's super tired, she goes in her back room and shuts the door and takes a long blink is what she calls it. So she like closes her eyes and like holds her eyes shut for a second and then opens them. And I feel like that's what Meredith did, where she took a long blink.
Just in the middle of surgery.
Yeah, not a good time to take a long blink.
I remember in high school, like falling asleep in class, like actually, like, because I was so tired because like in high school, think about it, you get there so early.
You get there at like 5. 30.
Like 7.
35.
And then you're there until like 3 or 2:45. And then usually you have an extracurricular of some sort.
So if you were cool enough.
So you're at school till like 4:35.
Yeah.
And then you have homework.
Yeah.
And then you kind of want to do something that isn't homework. So like I remember going to bed at probably like 9:30, 10. And, like, I can just remember literally falling asleep in classes or, like, making the conscious choice of, like, I'm going to put my head down and I'm going to fall asleep. And
yeah. I would go to bed at, like, 11 sometimes.
Yeah.
Well, I remember I would have, like, I had, like, 2 dance classes. I had voice lessons. I had plays all year long. And then I had choir shit on top of that.
Yeah.
And so on top of that with my choir stuff, I would – my lunches would be spent in the choir room, too, practicing. So I literally – and lunches were like 10 minutes, which was dumb, or like 20. But yeah, I remember some days, like, and if it was like show week.
Oh, then you're at tech until like midnight.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. And I remember like, I think the most tired is, which I don't have kids yet, so I'm sure that's second place. But the most tired ever of life is always when I think back to high school.
Yeah. We were exhausted. Well, and the thing that's crazy, they talked about that like, teenagers need way more sleep than like children, and because you're doing all these changes and stuff, yeah. and they've done all this research, so they've actually said that like, and they need to get up later, and so they've like talked about switching it where like elementary school would go
starts
in early,
earlier.
And the reason they can't start at the same time is because of busing or whatever. But
right.
like, I think they should flip it. Because I remember missing my first hour all the time because I would just be so tired.
Less time for extracurriculars.
Oh, yeah. That was the argument
with
that.
That's probably why they, yeah. Wow. How did we get here?
I don't know.
But yeah, so Meredith takes a long blink.
She takes a long blink.
And she thinks that her finger went through the glove and she thinks she hurt the heart.
She nicked. Yeah.
Nicked the
heart. They say that like 10 times in
this Nicked episode. The heart.
Yeah.
So that's what, and then she's in the elevator. The reason my note was she's in the elevator with George and she's like freaking out. And then she's like, she admits to George what she thinks she did. And I like just love in that moment that George is the friend that they talk to. And he's like, I feel like I'm a big George fan. And so I just feel like I want him as my friend.
Yeah. He was really, I mean, he was really helpful in that moment. He calmed her down and was just kind of like, nothing happened. So right. What would you report? Because right. she asked if she should report it. And he's like, yeah. What would you report? Also, I don't know if it was great advice, but it was nice advice.
Why is Meredith's voice so raspy?
Dude, I wrote that down too. It's like super high, but raspy.
It's like she had a cold.
Yeah, I wonder. It sounds
like she literally was sick.
Yeah, it's. And maybe they did that for a reason because she's like super tired.
They
and
like rolled with it.
I don't know, but I wrote that down like twice because it weirded me out. It wasn't just that it was raspy. It was like higher though. Yeah. Too. It was like higher and raspy.
Right. And then can we go to the pain patient really fast?
Yeah.
There's not much to talk about with him. Other than that, I thought it was Louis C.K. at first.
Can you imagine?
And I looked it up. I Googled to make sure it wasn't. It's not. Then I thought it was Paul Blart Mall Cop. It looks like him too. But it's like that other actor that looks like both of them.
I don't know who that other actor is.
Me either, but yeah, that fly has been flying around. But yeah, so I don't really understand. I just wrote, is this Louis C.K.?
I didn't recognize that. Well, with the pain patient, Craig doesn't want to give him Dilaudid. And Shepard is like, no, you have to like treat his pain first. It's real. And that just shows again that Karev is a McDouche. Like, just because you're a junkie and just because you may be addicted to something, like,
doesn't mean your pain isn't real.
Yeah.
Yeah. Totes. Not much. I feel like that patient is purely made there for the fact that we learned something about Alex's past.
What did we learn?
That Alex's dad is a junkie. So we can just jump. So we learn at the end, the reason that Alex is so weird about that guy is not that he's a douche, really. It's that his dad was a junkie and he like saw the signs. So something to give you a little bit more empathy towards Karev, like a little bit.
I'm trying.
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about Christina and Burke, their first moment together, the coffee.
I loved that moment.
Yes.
He brings coffee to Christina and she like is doing clipboards.
Yeah. And we will call it clipboards.
She's doing clipboards and she like looks down in it and looks at him and he's like, it's just coffee. And then
she goes, okay.
Okay. And takes it. And I love when they show Burke like looking and sees her like take a sip of it. And then he's like, his smile on his face is so adorable. It's so cute.
That conversation goes, just coffee. And then she goes, okay. And then he goes, okay. And that's like, that's it.
Yeah.
They really don't talk.
No.
This episode. But they have.
Do they talk ever?
No.
Like up to this
episode? It's all looks.
Yeah.
Which their last moment, which we predicted, the last episode was her being upset about that patient dying and him like not hugging her, but almost hugging her.
Touching her.
Yeah. So then it looks like the next thing I have is they're at that party, which is crazy. How does that happen so fast? Do you have anything in between that?
Well, we didn't talk about the one patient that there was a towel in her lungs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fuck. Ow.
Yeah.
For 5 years, there was a surgical towel
under her lung.
Yeah.
Ow. And she's a sweet old lady.
Yeah. And they're like, this poor lady. They're like talking about like, oh, you really should have quit smoking. She's like, I did quit smoking, but it didn't help because she had a freaking towel in her.
Right. And she's so sweet and so small.
Yeah.
So nice. And George is nice to her. And yeah. So they go into surgery and they're like, oh, what the fuck is this?
We got to open her rib spreader. I laughed when they said rib spreader.
There's a thing.
Yeah, I know.
It was terrifying.
I just didn't know that that's the simplest name for a tool. Like, what does a rib spreader do? It spreads your ribs.
And Richard pulls it out.
Oh, Richard.
Ow. Also, all I think about is, like, I know she's under, but can you imagine, like, the feeling of someone pulling a towel out of your body? Just imagine it for a second.
I don't want to. It reminds me of those magic tricks of like handkerchief.
Juggling.
not juggling.
Okay. So we've got that lady and we got to find out who left the towel in, which we can just jump to. Christina is the one that's in charge of going to look at the charts to see who was her surgeon. And it was Burke.
Was it like weirdly highlighted on your screen? Like
your TV? I didn't pay attention. I didn't see that.
Like, she looks down at it, and it's, like, there's, like, a glowing light around, like, Burke's.
It's the spirit of the chart. The clipboards.
Clipboards.
So, Then, so it kind of goes to the party.
Which I think
this is really, we should talk about this. This is like the best scene.
Yeah, I think it's really funny before that Bailey invites herself to the party. Yeah. And George is like,
what was I supposed to do?
Yeah, like,
which true. Okay.
Your boss invites
you. Situation. You are throwing a party with your coworkers. Your boss, who's like you're scared of, overhears and says, well, can I come?
Yeah, you say absolutely.
Do you?
What else are you supposed to say? No, you can't come. This is for everyone else so we can talk about you.
Yeah.
Like, the only reason bosses want to be there is because they know that y'all going to talk shit about them.
That's true.
So then, if they're there, you can't talk shit.
Yeah, no, that's really true. I don't have a boss right now, so I don't know how I'd handle that.
What about McCoy?
McCoy, you cannot come to this party. You are a dog. This party is for humans. Only.
Only.
Humans. So it jumps to the party and it's packed. Meredith's mom's house is packed. And they never got
raging.
And they never got Meredith's okay.
Yeah. That's like a big part of the episode too. It's like, did you tell Meredith that it or not tell her? And she's like, I'll tell her. It's fine.
Oh, and meanwhile, Izzy's doing operation. Like she doesn't
Operation Clipboard.
She doesn't even come to the party.
No, because she's totally avoiding her hockey boyfriend.
Right.
Who's McDouche.
McDouche, yes. So, first, a couple things about the party. First thoughts. Bailey is wearing an outfit from the 80s. It is so pink.
It's so bad.
And that was really my only thought on the attire. Necklace. Yeah, her necklace looked just like Christina's. It was weird. It was like, I don't know what happened with
shells,
costumes.
But not.
Right. People are like partying, dancing. They're just like packed. They don't look like nerdy doctors.
No. Did you see the one guy? He was like totally just a random person. We'll never see him again. But he had on this really bad short sleeve button up shirt and it had all these words on it like amazing, cool.
Like, no, but it sounds like a shirt I want.
No, it's so bad. Who is this guy? Who wears that to a party?
He's probably one of the mental defects.
Yeah, he was Peds. Peds was one of the mental defects.
Yeah. Funny. Not a jock.
Nope.
I would totally not be a jock, even in surgery. I would be like.
No, I'd be like.
Psychology or whatever.
Yeah.
So
podiatry.
Yes. Focus on the feet.
Yes.
So they're at the party. Okay. Christina walks in. She is like, what the fuck?
This is you mean
Meredith walks in. She is like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And she finds George and George is like, I told Izzy to tell you, blah blah blah. And I feel like we all need to be Meredith sometimes in this moment where, like, you can choose. You are the guy in the car.
Yes.
You have two choices. You can be a dick.
Yep.
Or you can just
give in to the power of the tea.
Right.
And just join the fucking party. Join the party called life, man. In the car.
Yeah, man in the car. Join the fucking party.
Yeah.
So she's like, hold this, which is a lamp, to George. And then she's like, give me that, which is a bottle of tequila. And Christina is, okay, like, what is, oh, she goes, babe, you made it.
Yeah, like, which is hilarious that she calls.
Because she's wasted.
And she calls Meredith babe, which that is not a Christina thing, but it is in that moment. So funny.
She's dancing by herself, like, on a table.
With a beer, yeah.
Or some sort of alcohol bottle. Yeah. And that's when Meredith just decides to go for it. And I love that.
Yeah.
And they dance it out.
This is the first time we see them dancing it out.
Which. Spoiler alert, they do this. This is a thing. Dance it out.
And I have dance parties all the time.
Yeah, it's helpful.
Yeah, private dance parties.
We had one on your birthday once that was so good. We had one before Christmas that was like the most memorable one.
It was so good.
Just singing and dancing and drinking.
Yeah, I had one before Kristen's housewarming party. I had to pump myself up, so I had a private dance party.
That's perfect.
Yeah, sometimes you just need them, and Christina and Meredith get that.
And they just basically pick up bottles of alcohol and jump around. They're not
good dancers. They like do the shoulder thing, and like their arms just kind of flop around.
How about we will take a boomerang of us after this and put it on our Instagram,
and we'll dance it out
of us dancing out in our outfits
that
we're currently wearing
because they're so good.
And so Meredith, Christina, and George get frickin' drunk.
Yeah. Oh, I love to. So Meredith and Christina are dancing, and then Christina's like, George, get over here. Get over here. He's like, no, no. And then he does, and he like gets sandwiched in between them. And if you watch how Christina is dancing in that moment, it's so dirty. And she's like grinding on George. It's a perfect scene. Perfect trifecta.
Yes, it's a perfect trifecta.
Yeah.
And I love too that they are then, there's like a part where they're playing strip poker, I think they must be. And George loses, and Christina has, like, cards stuck to her face, like, the sweat of her face. And I just love that Christina goes, get naked, baby boy. Like, poor George.
Oh, having to deal with all those women. It's a big party, though. They're like, who are all those people?
They're all too, like, young and attractive to all be, unless they're all interns, but still.
Yeah. And I...
Well, shouldn't some of them be at work?
Yeah. What's happening at the hospital? Well, Karev and Izzy are holding it down. Yeah. Just the two of them. And Bailey at the party doesn't do anything but, like...
eat food.
Yeah, like, put chips on a plate and, like, dip. I'm like, Bailey, what?
That's me at every party.
You are the one blanket of the party, Bailey.
All I do is stand by the food table.
That's fine. I will be there...
Oh, and she looks for the bourbon.
Oh, she does?
She's like, do you got any bourbon? That's what she said. That's like, right, she's talking to Christina.
Oh, that's great. I don't remember that part. Then Meredith ends up outside by herself.
Just with her bottle of tequila.
Such a good moment. Like, it's I've been there before. Like, on the porch. Just like, it's me and my bottle of whatever I have.
If I had a porch last night, I'd have been there.
Yeah, just twirling, eyes closed. Yep. Like, doesn't matter, not a care in the world.
And he says, some people in some countries, this is illegal or something.
Yeah, well, Shepard does.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Shepard's leaning against his car.
Oh, so hot.
Yeah.
Just his car is parked. He's leaning up like any stereotypical hot dude. And
just smile. It's so cute how he's looking at her. Like,
right.
He's admiring her sloshiness, which.
That's all we want in life.
Yeah, just admire my sloshiness, please.
Yeah, don't fight it. Don't make fun of me. Just admire it.
Yeah.
Exactly. So she comes, she like walks over down to him and says the worst ride or the worst line. I just gave part of it away. I read the note. Will you say it?
Yeah, wait, what's the note? Okay.
It is.
So she comes up to him and she goes, take me for a ride. It's so bad. Do they kiss before or after that?
I think right after that.
Yeah. And then it like pans up to a full moon. Like, cool.
Which is perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. And take me for a ride, Derek.
Oh, Derek. Yeah. Take me for a ride, Derek.
And then they're in the car making out.
Yeah, well, they had definitely had sex.
Oh, yeah. You're right.
They had sex.
They didn't just make out.
No. I hate to say it, but they did not just make out. And
in a front seat.
Yeah, difficult.
Seems hard. I've never tried.
I haven't either.
Just trying to.
I just don't think it's
not worth it.
Who wants to have sex in a car? Like, we're old enough now. That's like riding in cars with boys. Drew Barrymore when you're 16. Like,
I feel like I don't. Mom and Dad, just I'm a woman. I'm. You want to be married? You want to be on a bed?
Yeah. Yeah.
Somewhere comfortable.
A bed, mostly just a bed. Never really anywhere else. Anyone else who like has a preference of like
a washing,
getting crazy, like
they are lying.
Shut up. Yeah. You're lying. It's not fun.
If you had a choice and there was no judgment attached to it, you would choose a bed.
Yeah.
Every time.
Yeah.
So
now that call me lame. Call me unadventurous.
Bree is single and ready to mingle.
Am I?
I don't know. She likes beds. Okay. So so I want to say the reason Izzy and Karev are at the hospital is because the attic guy like fought them. He like got all mad, which I wrote. This is a constant theme for Grey's Anatomy. Patients getting angry, trying to fight the doctors, and then falling and hurting themselves. I feel like this happens a lot in the future. So that's just a common theme I wanted to point out. So they're doing brain surgery on him.
Blew his left pupil.
Looks like he blew his left pupil. I want to have a segment where we just say Grey's lines in the way Ice-T would on Law & Order.
Yeah.
Take me for a ride, Derek. Get naked, baby boy. Oh, there's so many good ones.
Being an adult is totally overrated. That one's not as good, but
it's still good. I like it. Just coffee. Okay. Okay. So anyways.
Wait. Oh, I have a quote.
Oh,
what is this from? Is this like a famous line when there's a towel in that patient's lung or like under the lung and Bailey says something careless this way come? What is that?
Something. All I can think of is the Harry Potter song. It goes something. Wait. Oh my God. I should know. Something, something this way comes. I can't remember what the word is.
Well, maybe they were referencing that. But is it like poetry? What are you talking about?
Surgery careless this way comes. I don't know. It that's sounds weird. Like
hocus pocus.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Double, toil, and trouble. Something. Abracadabra.
Something careless this way comes. Yeah, it's weird. So after their brain surgery is when we meet Izzy's, well, we kind of meet him before, but Izzy's boyfriend shows up at the hospital.
What the fuck is he wearing? He has on this
a leather
scarf and like really bad cords.
It was 2005. Mm. That's what
it bad
was.
Year.
Bad year. Bad year for fashion.
Yeah.
And Izzy's like, oh my God, hi, I love you. I did brain surgery. And he's like, where were you at the party? And then he makes the comment.
Where were you at the party?
And she's like, you used to, or you liked hanging out with my friends when my friends were models. And he's like, you went to parties when your friends were models.
And she was like,
huh. Yeah, so this, she's basically, it was like the quickest. I don't even know why. I feel like they had him there because they needed to establish that she is single. And also that, like, they had to have the party scene. But, like, you knew she was going to break up with him. Like.
Yeah, and we've never heard about him before.
No, not until this episode.
Yeah, and then. Also, if like I feel like he would already know that like she would be super busy because she probably wouldn't be calling him that much.
Right.
And
he flew from across the country. So maybe because he lives wherever.
Why are they even still together?
Like, I don't know. Also, she says she works 100-hour weeks. And I want to know if that's real. Because you can't work more than 12 hours, right? Do they work? No, they work. Or do they work 48-hour shifts?
They work 48-hour shifts.
Is that real? Don't you have to sleep?
I think they'd end up talking about it in an episode way down the line where they, like, cut people's hours because they're like, you guys are staying here.
Too much.
Yeah. And you can't do.
Whoa, I just, whoa. 100 hours. That's like.
Yeah. 100 hours. There are 168 hours in a week.
So that means.
That means.
Well, that's like you're sleeping 8 hours and then going to work for the rest of the time.
So that's like two-ish days that you were not working.
Right, which I guess.
I mean, they wake up at like 4 and they're probably there till.
Okay, wait. Divide the amount of, divide the big number, how many hours in a week? Or no, first of that.
168.
So, okay, sorry. Divide 68 by 7 because then we'll know how many hours of sleep they get. Because those are the only hours they're not working, 68 hours.
9.7.
Oh, so I guess it is possible. You'd have to, like, sleep and go, which I guess they do.
Yeah.
How do you buy groceries? How do you...
They don't.
How do you go poop?
They... At work.
That's true.
Oh, and they have on-call room. Or they sleep at work, too.
Okay. So, yeah you're right.
Yeah. That's our crazy. Podcast is called The On-Call Room.
Oh! Okay, that's crazy, though. I don't want to be a surgeon.
Well, good thing you're probably not going to be.
Right? Okay, so I think the last, like, really moment to talk about is Meredith admits in front of that heart patient's husband that she thinks she punctured the heart, which leads to her having to have this meeting with the chief. Mm-hmm. Because they are like, because they opened up the heart and it was all fucked up. And they're like, oh, why didn't you tell us? So she has this meeting with like a lawyer, Burke, and the chief. And she's explaining herself. And I love this moment with Burke because I feel like he stands up for Meredith. And he admits that like even good surgeons make mistakes. He did the towel thing. But he has this great moment where he's like, she stood up for what she believed in. And she shouldn't be punished for that. And it's like the first time Burke is a human and not a robot.
Mm-hmm. Except for he's sitting like a robot, Bob, with his like hands in like fake prayer. What is this?
I don't know. Fingertips.
Geometric shape.
Yeah, well, he's kind of robotic.
Yeah, but I did love that scene. And he advocated for Meredith without like directly that, just kind of like by bundling all the surgeons together. Like, we have to be able to like
admit when we did something
wrong. Yeah, without like losing our careers by you lawyers, you bad lawyers. Lawyers always get a bad rep in this show.
Yeah, and they're not probably all that bad. They're just trying to protect the people.
Yeah, that's all lawyers are ever trying to do. Just protect the people.
And I have to say, too, in that moment, well, we learned because, like, Meredith walks out and I wrote, he comes out of the shadows. Derek just, like, appears.
Yeah.
Like, was Derek watching it through the window? Like, was he snooping? Because he's just like, how'd it go? And she's like, I'm on probation. He's like, okay, good. And then he walks away.
Yeah, like, back into the shadows.
Yeah, seriously. I wrote, he came out of the shadows.
We missed a really big part of the party.
Oh, when what?
Bailey catches.
Oh, shit. Yeah, sorry. Rewind.
Derek and, that was a nice rewind.
Thank you.
Derek and Meredith are in the car together, and they just had sex. Oh, yeah. We started talking about beds and
cars. That's why we went off on a tangent.
And he starts, or he said something about, like, I think the party's dying down. We should, like, sneak back in. And she's like, we've done enough sneaking for tonight. And he's like, but it was good sneaker read. Like, sneak, sneak, sneak. And then you see, like, Bailey walk up and just knock, knock on the window.
And you see her reflection.
Yeah.
And she's like, something like,
not moving this tail wagon.
Yeah, I'm blocked in.
Yeah, it's like, oh, can you imagine your boss seeing you on top of with their boss?
Yeah.
Oh.
Also, I love that Bailey doesn't, like, say anything about it yet. She chooses to just, like, let them know she saw them.
Yeah.
But, like.
But I bet, I mean, she's going to have to give Meredith shit.
Yeah. Like, oh, it's going to go down. And but that, to me, is the best because that's even worse. It's like you'd rather get yelled at right then and there.
Yeah.
Than, like, go to work and have to act, like,
yeah,
normal.
You know, just a newspaper on the nose and then, like, be done with it.
Yep.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Like, it honestly makes me feel squeamish thinking about something like that happening in my life.
Your boss seeing you on top of their boss.
Like, that's just, oh, God.
Yeah. She looks great, though.
It doesn't matter. She looks great.
She's got Derek's shirt on.
Yeah. Yeah. She makes a great face, too, afterwards. Meredith does.
She's like, oh, fuck.
Like, yeah. This is just another fucking thing.
Because she knows she's going to be hungover. She has that meeting tomorrow.
Yeah.
And she just got caught with Derek Shepherd.
Yeah. Which... not good.
No.
But the heart wants what the heart wants.
The heart wants what the heart wants, and it doesn't want to be nicked. We learn that Meredith gets on put on probation, which is, like, a good thing because she couldn't get fired. And,
Bailey says to Christina.
Here we go.
Bailey says to Christina, like, he was always going to.
Talking about Burke.
Yeah. He was always going to. About the towel. Like, he was always going to admit that it was him. He was just waiting for the right time. Information.
Knowledge is power.
Did she say knowledge or she said information?
Oh, you're right. Information. Sorry. Shit. I corrected.
Information is power.
Which is a new segment.
Miranda Bailey teaching moments.
Yes, because every episode she's said a one-liner that's like, she uses what happens for, like, an amazing teaching moment.
Yeah.
This one was information is power.
Yeah, so we're going to add that segment in, Miranda Bailey's teaching
moment.
When
it happens.
If she doesn't have a teaching moment, maybe we'll throw someone else's teaching. They're all teachers there, you know,
yeah.
They all have to have them.
Yeah.
Miranda, out of all of these episodes, has been the one who's really had some powerful moments with her.
For sure. She's an influencer.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we end the episode with the on-call room. What's up, motherfuckers?
This is why we are called the on-call room. This is the first time something really happens in it.
Yeah. Burke goes into the on-call room to
takes off his shirt.
His ugly shoes first.
Like, yeah.
What are those things? And then takes off his shirt and little Christina comes on in.
So bold.
And the way he looks at her, like, kind of questions, but kind of like, please continue. And then she shuts the door and then she locks it, which is even more bold. And then she says, thanks for the coffee.
And then he, like, looks at her and then it's a steamy kiss.
It's such a beautiful kiss. The way, if someone would just kiss me this way, the way he puts
his hand
on top of her, like, forehead is just beautiful.
Well, he goes at her with both arms, like,
yeah,
out, and, like, puts one behind her back, one on her head, and just.
Yeah, and just, and then to untie the scrubs, and then it, like, fades to.
To black. Fade to black. Which, yeah, like, that, so we know things, because we've seen it, but we were predicting that this next episode was probably going to have something to do with them. There was way too much tension.
Like, yeah, way too much sexual tension.
Yeah.
Oh, such a great kiss. I think better than, like, Meredith and Derek's first kiss.
Oh, yeah. They haven't had any good, like, Well, they had the one, but this was way better.
Yeah, this was like, I've always felt like Christina and Burke's, like, whatever they've had, super passionate and just like, dad, yeah, hands and ugh.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I love so it. So good. I love it too. And so now Christina cannot be mad at Meredith about sleeping with a resident because she freaking
attending
because she is doing the same thing.
Yeah. Sleeping with the boss, sleeping with the enemy.
Puts them on equal playing ground.
She now in this episode, well, because it kind of ended with that, but Meredith doesn't know.
Right.
And I don't know when Meredith finds out.
Yeah. I feel like it won't be right away.
No.
Cause she doesn't want to admit she's wrong.
No. And Christina seems like a pretty private person. Mm-hmm. For the most part.
Right.
Yeah. I thought it was a pretty good episode.
It was. Okay, I'm going to read the fun facts now. Yeah. Let's see how accurate we were. Shake Your Groove Thing. Wasn't Louis C.K., if you were curious. All right, notes and trivia.
Okay.
This episode's title originated from the song Shake Your Groove Thing, originally sung by Peaches and Herb.
Okay.
This episode had 17.9 million viewers.
All right.
Oh, Meredith is hoarse throughout the episode. Yeah. Doesn't say why. Ooh, there's two goofs.
Okay. I love goofs.
Goof number one.
Me goofing.
Richard mentions that Mrs. Drake underwent this surgery before in 99, but when Christina is looking at the paperwork from the original surgery, it says the date was 10/18/2000.
Oh.
Little goof.
Oh, it's just a tiny goof.
Yep. Who finds these?
Yeah, okay. Just looking for goofs.
Richard and Bailey, who are general surgeons, are performing a laparoscopic surgery on Mrs. Drake's lungs. This would normally have been done by cardiothoracic. Yep. I cannot say that word.
Cardiothoracic.
It's because it's two C's. So
yeah, it gets confusing.
As soon as they specialize in organs within the thorax. Oh my God. The thorax. I just want to say too, we don't have to like hit on this, but a whole like thing in the background of this is that Meredith got signed over all of her mother's like
power of attorney.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's sad.
And sucks.
Yeah. Major sucks.
Parents getting old.
Ugh. I can't even talk about that. So the next episode is called, I will tell you once I have it open, If Tomorrow Never Comes.
Oh, sad.
Yeah. Not a fan.
Well, this just goes back to our whole idea just about like join the party, man. Enjoy life because what if tomorrow never comes?
It might not. You never know. All right. So I think it's time for us to go into our segment where we say the same thing at the same time and then we talk about current events.
Okay.
Ready? 1, 2, 3. Spoiler alert. Ooh, that was good.
Thank you.
Okay, so I feel like we haven't done enough of this, and just recently I still haven't seen last night's episode.
I haven't either.
Okay, perfect, because we both don't watch it on. So I'm trying to find, I sent you this article. So we're going to talk about current things happening. Well, first of all, let's congratulate the actress that plays Jo Wilson, because she had her baby.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. So looks like a very cute bebe.
Yeah, and she looks way too beautiful to have just birthed a child. Just you. Give it up a little bit. I'm going to have to scroll up so far in our text because we texted so much last night.
Sending YouTube videos. We were watching like blooper reels.
The Office blooper reels. I was sending you Harry Potter montages.
Yeah, that I was watching and getting emotional about. That means I was a little buzzed last night because like I like Harry Potter, but I'm sorry for all of you who like are, you know, diehard fans. I only read the first book, but I saw all the movies and I can like appreciate
that. Was more about the movies anyways. Like,
but then you sent me this thing and I was like, this is so powerful. And I mean, it isn't. Like it's nice enough done. But.
I have been watching that montage. Like if I ever need a really good cry, I will pull that up and I will watch it. Here we go. Because I seriously like think it's the most emotional thing.
Also, that song.
The music. There is a place.
Yeah, it's such a good song.
If you always want to.
That song is actually on Grey's Anatomy at one point.
Oh, I'm sure. Every good song is. Okay, so there was this article about how Grey's is going to set up the finale to start, like, to lead us into new season.
Oh, yeah.
And there's all these there's people saying rumors of Marilex, which is Meredith and Alex getting together.
I didn't know that.
I read that. I don't think that's true. I don't think that could ever happen.
Why not?
Because they're like siblings. Like, ew. Like, I just, there's never been sexual tension between them, ever.
Except for in the first episode, when she slams him up against the locker. All the way back to when they were in
here. I know, maybe. Okay, but the thing I sent you. So, I think there's some sort of plane crash that's, like, possibly. But this.
Again.
This sentence from this article made me laugh so hard. Like we said, spoiler alert. But really, it's fine. You'll still enjoy the series, even if you read this.
Yeah, just...
While the hospital and staff have already survived a bomb, plane crash, and murderous shooter, the whole place hasn't been set aflame just yet. Because there's all these hilarious comments of people being like, maybe the whole hospital burns down. They're like, they're leading up to it enough. Like, that would just be the...
The kicker.
Right, all, try to imagine getting all those patients out.
Yeah, oh my gosh.
That... So they haven't done that yet. I don't know if that's going to happen. But okay. So Debbie Allen, who actually plays Jackson's mom... In the series.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She directed this, the finale, and she says, be worried, because it's that kind of night. It's going to be that kind of a ride.
We've had that before.
A finale for the record books.
How, really? Are we saying that after 13, 12 years?
Yeah.
We're saying that for the books? Because there's been a lot of them, and they have shaken me to my core.
We said spoiler, we can talk about this. Was the Derek dying in, like, the last one?
Pretty sure.
So this season started with...
Him dead.
Okay. I love, though, that this season two, in this last episode, Amelia was like, she's like, what do you mean you didn't go dark and twisty? You came back with a secret baby. Don't refer to your niece as a secret baby.
Yeah, that was great.
That was so great. Okay, another thing I want to ask your opinion on. So Ellen Pompeo's Instagram, did I tell you this? Yeah, I sent this to you.
Yeah.
She posted a photo of Justin Chambers, a weird one, who plays Alex Karev, and it says, thank you for being you and having that thing you have that makes us all love you. You're a mesmerizing talent and a great friend. So this is, shout out to my friend Megan McDowell, who sent me this, and she was like, do you think he's going to leave?
Yeah, what do you think?
I don't know. I didn't see the preview, so I don't know anything about this plane crash. I don't know if he's on it or not.
I don't either.
How have we not watched
it? But usually when people are leaving, isn't there, like, back talk about it? Like, hey, they're not signing on for another season, or, like, didn't we kind of know?
Did we know about, like, Lexi and all of them?
I guess.
Sloan? Some characters just get written off, I think. But, like, what would kill me is
it doesn't have a fucking happy ending.
No, this is my worst nightmare. But that's, like, a thing Shonda would do because, like, that's his tragedy. Like, Alex Karev is a character that never gets a happy ending.
Ugh, I just...
She's not someone that gives everyone happy endings. Like, look at Meredith's life.
Yeah, that's true.
And maybe she's thinking, like, there's no, like, this Joe Wilson thing isn't working out with him. How can she possibly get you to, like, be attached to him in another person? And if it can't
be... It would take a while.
Right. It would take seasons. And maybe she's just like, you know what? I think that Alex's character is just tragic. And I will lose my shit if...
Well, but I don't know. I've had conversations with people that, like, we could see Alex and Meredith ending up together. I mean, he cares about her so deeply. He cares about her kids. Like...
Right, and they're showing some, not jealousy towards Riggs, but he doesn't like him.
Yeah, I could honestly see them getting together.
But would it be just out of, like, convenience?
Sometimes that's what love is. Ooh. I mean, like, that's and I don't mean that in
no, really no, sad you're way, right, but, you're right.
Like, she lost the love of her life.
Right, she's never going to have
another
Derek.
She's never going to have another Derek Shepherd. So why not have someone who understands you and you're dark and twisty, and, like, you can maybe have some, like, sex with, and, like, loves your children.
Can you imagine them having sex together, though?
Maybe they don't have sex. Maybe they're just, like,
I picture it, like, the time that George and Meredith.
Oh, we'll get to that one. Yeah. Oh, God, that was so bad.
Yeah, so, I don't know. Anyways, we'll have to see. That's what the last thing that she... her Instagram is really funny. You should follow it.
I think I do. Maybe I don't. I don't know.
But, Justin Chambers hasn't updated his in, like, 5 years, but it's there, so.
So
I went to his immediately and was like... also, Ellen Pompeo has 3.3 million followers.
I thought you were going to say 3.3 kids. I was like, how is that possible?
3.3 million followers. I keep can't talk. Also, I expect her to be like Meredith in real life. Like, I want her to be Meredith, but she's, like, not at all like her character. If you ever watch interviews with her.
Is she really nice?
Well, she's just, yeah. And, like, look at her glasses she wears. Like, she's very, like, hipster and, like,
oh yeah.
Like, I just expect, because she's been this character for so long,
it just seems like
she would be Meredith.
Yeah,
but no. So anyways, I feel like that's some good news. Also, there's a great Instagram of Chief and like the current Chief. I'm going to show you Emily in this because it won't display right. But you all should follow Ellen on Instagram. It's really funny. So you probably all do. You're probably all better fans than I am.
Ooh.
Shoot. So anyways, yeah, any other
things? What I think, oh, the last thing I had, this is my last note. And I wonder if they say this referencing the party. They call it a Dr. Palooza. And that is so funny to me.
Dr. Palooza.
Yeah.
I wish my last name was Palooza and I was a doctor.
Hello, my name is
Dr. Palooza.
Can you imagine? You're like coming in, you're in like, oh.
Dr. Babbitt sounds good.
That's my sister's.
Oh.
My sister is a doctor. A chiropractic doctor, but
shout out
if you need your spot aligned.
Yeah, why don't they sponsor us?
Oh, that's so true. I need to talk to her.
This
about
is
that.
A great audience for them.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know, they never have a chiropractor on Grey's Anatomy. I know it's all about surgery and stuff, but like,
still, they should consult one once.
Yeah, more. Never. Ugh. Can't believe it.
Who do we want to be sponsored by tonight? H2O?
Which one did I hear the other day that I was like, oh, stamps.com.
Yes.
That's a big one.
Stamps.com. Sponsored by that old guy in the car that yelled at you.
Yeah, sponsored by him. You know what? Namaste. And I hope that you find peace and healing in whatever is in your tough, rough heart, because you obviously have a lot of layers you need to shed, and I hope you find a way to do that.
I have an idea.
Okay.
I want to run by you on the air, which means if we decide to do it, it might happen already before they hear this episode. So whatever. But I was thinking we should do some sort of a giveaway. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering, what the hell do we even have to give away?
Just to hang out with us and maybe have lunch.
My thought is doing a call in.
Ooh.
So like, we're going to have the next episode is going to be our first guest,
mm-hmm.
which is going to be really great. Yeah. Get excited for that. But I think we should do a giveaway where they have to like do something, and then we talk about details later. And then if they win, we call them during when we're recording and like ask about, like they can be there for the part when we talk about the episode.
Awesome.
Doesn't that sound so fun?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, be looking out for that and just get ready to sell your soul so you can be on this podcast.
Yeah, pretty much. It's all we're doing. You got to wear spandex shorts though.
You do. You're not allowed. And you have to wear.
And you can't wear a bra.
We never wear bras. So, can't wear a bra, you have to wear spandex shorts, and you have to not show your legs for life. I don't know.
My ankle hairs are about an inch long.
Dude, I've been looking at my legs like, whoa, that's not okay.
I am just so sad it's that time of year. I have to start taking care of them once in a while.
Taking care of yourself.
So, self-love, self-care.
Hygiene.
Well, it's been great. Love you all.
I think you're forgetting something.
I'm going to do it without your help.
No.
Oh, what?
We didn't rate the episode.
Oh, shit. You're right. Okay. That's not what I was going to do.
Yeah, I know. That's why I decided.
All right. I rate this episode. What is about? Have I done one of four yet? I still think I liked last week's better. Sorry.
Wow. Really?
I did.
I thought this one was. Okay. Sorry. This is your rating. This
I'm going to do 3.75 scalpels.
Okay.
But close to it. It's real close to a four.
Do you want to give a reason? Or are you just okay with just.
There wasn't rating. Enough sadness in it for me. I'm being serious. I like sad things.
No, I do too.
And this one was just too happy, joy, joy.
Happy, happy, joy, joy.
Yeah, which it was great. But like something really sad could have happened to like Izzy and Karev at the same time that something happy was happening to Christina. So it's like a good balance. It felt too happy for me.
Okay.
Not in dark and twisty enough.
Okay.
Okay, your turn.
I'm going to give it 3.75 scalpels as well, which is pretty high for me.
God, I'm always expecting you to go higher.
This was like, I think out of the season, this was my favorite so far.
Ooh.
I just felt like we really got to like see like who the characters are. Like they're really developing into, and like some of my favorite things that I love about Grey's Anatomy showed up. Like the drinking tequila and dancing. Like that's like one of my favorite things. Yep. And so that alone.
And Christina and Meredith just like.
Yeah, their like relationship is like blossoming. Christina and Meredith.
Burke and Christina.
Yeah, I just felt like there were so many like exciting things that might at some point like all be destroyed. But like It was just like a nice moment of like, it's like the beginning of a relationship when you have the butterflies. And you're like, oh, this is so exciting, but I know it's not going to last.
Literally everything we've talked about is going to be destroyed.
Everything.
I don't think it's bad that we talk about this. I'll in the intro or in the, like the notes, I'll write a little spoiler alert that if you really don't want to know what's going on. But like, the show is good whether or not you do that.
So. Yeah.
Anyways. All right. Well,
thanks for
the
listening.
Average is 3.75 scalpels on this week, and time of death is 1737.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.